Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, what's up to everyone? Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, it is always wonderful to be here with you live and in living color. Well, tonight, of course, is a special edition of our New Day broadcast. Of course, we are paying tribute to our brothers. Yes, serious black men. When we say our brothers, that's who we are referring to, serious black men. Black men, brothers who understand what's going on, what has been going on, and also that has been standing up and doing something about it. Yep, we want to talk to those brothers. We want to connect with those brothers. And so we now are saying it's time that we begin to, you know, really bring the family together. And so tonight, family, what we're going to do is, of course, make certain that we begin to recognize those black men who have not only stepped up right now, and again, we love and appreciate those brothers who are doing that. But, of course, there have been black men over the centuries that have, of course, been standing up for us. And when I say for us, I'm talking about for justice, for liberation, all of those things. Many have lost their lives in doing so. And so we know that this has been in this land at least 400 years. 400 years of this type of, I mean, it's just barbaric, and that puts it mildly. And so what we now want to begin to do, family, is to make certain that we not only put an end to what is going on presently, but that we also are able to make certain that our ancestors are, in fact, avenged. That's right. I said it, I meant it, and I'm here to represent it. You know, it is a wonderful thing to be able to bring these kinds of communications to you. You know, we are in a time now where technology, of course, is something that we can use to our advantage. And we certainly are planning to do that to a greater extent as we proceed in this next year and in the future. With that said, that means we're also prepared now to really escalate, really excel our movements, our efforts in doing the work that we know is necessary for us to do to really be able to make the difference that we need to make. So with that said, family, we're going to start tonight's program off with, let's say, one of the greatest black men that we have probably had in our, certainly in our lifetime, in modern times, and we might dare say in our time period, at least that we know of and have actually been able to see and hear and so forth. We're talking about, of course, Malcolm X, El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz. Some of the wisdom, some of the things that he taught and conveyed 50 plus years ago is so relevant today. And so we just want to kind of listen a little bit to some of the words of Malcolm X. We want to be able to, again, show and convey that what we're experiencing today, what we are going through today, is the same thing that we were going through 50 plus years ago, and needless to say, over the past 400 years. And so we want to make certain that we are able to really show the consistency of the struggle and learn from those who have come before us and now move forward and do the things that we were told we should have been doing some time ago, and some did. But with our brothers, what we want to do as black women, we want to be able now to connect with you to a greater extent, support you in an even more productive manner, as we as black women move forward with the plan and agenda that we have for black women and girls. That has not been done before, where there has been an actual connection with our men, having programs specifically for our men and then, of course, things for our women. For those of you who are on Zoom, we welcome you. We just hope that you will please, unless you are ready to come in for dialogue, which we're not doing yet, please make certain that your mic is on mute. And we hope to have some dialogue with you very shortly as more people begin to come in. But for now, please put your Zoom connection on mute, and that way we can continue to hear and have this dialogue without any types of other interruptions. Okay, again, Malcolm X. The issue of police brutality was certainly one that he spoke of more than 50 years ago. Again, we not only call it police brutality, we call it police and governmental terrorism. Police and governmental terrorism, that's what we call it. And as many know, MWM said 2.5 years ago that we were preparing for this year to begin the grassroots initiative as pertained to We Charge Genocide. Again, we did not know that all of this would be happening now with Corona and, of course, the murders, the recent murders. But what we did know was that this country is guilty of what's known as crimes against humanity, and that is, of course, genocide. And so with that said, we are now in the process of getting ready to bring forward the first 1 million signatures that we will take to the United Nations in December that will begin the formal process of charging this government with genocide, crimes against humanity. And it's not just in regards to the murders that we see with the police. It's not just in regards to the overall white supremacist system that we are locked into, but it also gets into the specifics of environmental racism, for example. The inferior education, the forced inferior education, the years of being subjected to not only things like COINTELPRO, but you all do know that several years ago, it was the evidence was there that showed that the United States government was, in fact, very much a part of the crack cocaine epidemic that hit our communities the hardest. And so what has been our response to all of these things over the years? Well, of course, there's been marches and other things, but what other types of actions? And now that we have the ears of other countries, it certainly is in our best interest to make certain that we do the kinds of things, both actions in terms of the demonstrations, but also in the filings. When you're dealing with countries, you have to do things in a diplomatic manner. Well, we've been ready to do that and then some. Malcolm X taught us in 1964 that we needed to take our plight, not just civil rights, but human rights. And so we now do that. So again, as we pay tribute to our brothers, we certainly highlight those brothers who certainly have given us the kinds of examples that we definitely must have. Sorry, we lost the audio there for what we wanted to queue up for you. Okay, let's try that again in a few moments. We're having a little technical difficulty. So we'll come back to that in a few moments, family. We were attempting to play one of Bill Hodgman-Leek's speeches for you, but actually it was an interview. And the interview was, talking about police brutality. And so Brother Malcolm had some very interesting words to share in that regard. But at any rate, what we want to do tonight is talk about Black men. What groups, what organizations in the U.S. is really ready? We're talking about Black men groups and organizations to now step out the box. And what do we mean by step out the box? Well, we're talking about to really formulate now the kinds of units, cadres, and other things that we really need in our community. We have nothing in our communities, for the most part, that is ongoing, always present, and representing in a certain kind of way. And so what we want to do, meaning A Million Black Women Rising, we want to connect with black men who really are about standing up, not bowing down, and will do so by any and all means necessary, unconditionally. And so, brothers, those who are about that, we want to connect with you. We want to be able to support whatever projects, initiatives, activities that you may have that's relevant to real justice and real liberation. MWM has worked very hard over these past years to make certain that we would have certain things in place that would now be able to make the moves that we need to make. And so, again, we have reached out to many kind of men's groups over the years, and, you know, our requests and of trying to connect, of trying to get them involved and so forth, has pretty much fallen on deaf ears. So now, as black women, we're really not asking any longer. We're going to do what we need to do to protect ourselves, to defend ourselves and our women and girls and our families and communities, and we're going to do it with or without anyone. We have to do that now. We cannot wait any longer. Now, what that means, of course, is, for the record, we're not talking about anti-man, anti-brother, none of that. What we're saying is we have made attempts to connect with many of our brothers, particularly in the city of Philadelphia, but yet again, it has fallen on deaf ears. And we can demonstrate, meaning provide the receipts, as they say, in regards to who we've been reaching out to, when we reached out to them, what types of things we were suggesting or asking support for or to collaborate with. And for the most part, no real response. But that's okay, because that's pretty much how it's been for quite a while. Unless you are a sister that is in an organization that is headed up by a brother or that was started by a brother, well, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to get the kind of support that is really necessary. And so we realize that now, and again, we're going to do something about it. But what that also means is that we have had the opportunity to be blessed to have met real, serious, strong black men in this process. Brothers who didn't care about what somebody was saying about a sister, or, you know, well, you know, they didn't do this and they should have did that and they didn't follow the orders of this and that. No, we've had black men that saw the issues and as a result decided, okay, we're going to deal with that. We're going to support that. And so rather than, you know, acting like little girls, brothers stood up, took their rightful places when it came to dealing with some issues. Now, black men, again, we want to connect, bond, and build with those that are truly committed, dedicated to justice and liberation for our people. Those brothers who have already made it very clear that they are about protecting and defending the black woman, black children, black community, etc., we now want to connect with you and build what is necessary to build in our communities nationwide. So again, brothers, we ask you to connect with us. You can email us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. Or you can call us directly at 267-636-3802. Again, 267-636-3802, okay? And that way we can begin what we need to do to get this thing rocking and rolling in terms of brothers and sisters working together to advance in our communities what we now need to advance, okay? And so, again, family, we're going to get ready to move forward. We were waiting for a couple of our brothers that we invited to call in for tonight to join us. We don't see them in queue just yet. And so in the meantime, we're going to, again, work on bringing in the clip for you that we wanted to bring in with Brother Malcolm X. So let's give us just a few moments to see if we can bring that in for you. We had a few technical difficulties a few moments ago, and so we're going to try again, and hopefully we are successful in doing that. Okay, I think we have it here, so let's try again. Okay, let's see. Nope, that's not it. Let's try. There we go. Okay, this was 1962, family. Brother Malcolm X gave this presentation. And we're going to be hopefully talking with, in the very near future, some of the people who were with Brother Malcolm X, and particularly working with his campaign in regards to recharge genocide, or at that point, it was dealing with human rights. Okay, hold on. Let's see if we have it. All right. Again, we're going to work on the volume there in case that did not come through as loudly as we wanted to. But hopefully you got the gist of that. And the gist of that was, you know, these issues, these problems that we've been talking about now have been talked about over the years. The issue or the question has to be, what is it that we're going to do about it? And so MWM, again, has worked very diligently to do that, to really work diligently to make certain that we are able to come up with some, if not resolutions specifically, at least something that can be put in the mix to help bring about the kinds of changes that we need. Now, one of the things, again, we want to cite is there's a lot of activity going on all over the country, and there should be. But what we are not seeing is what is the plan of action after the rallies and the demonstrations. And so fortunately, again, there are some entities that have had some things in place. And again, we want to connect with them. So with that said, again, We Charge Genocide 21 is an initiative that is going to take a minimum of 3 years to really be placed where it needs to be in the international world court and arenas. And again, we invite anyone that is interested in supporting, participating, we invite you to join us. Now, our kickoff is here in Philadelphia on July the 4th, which is these other people's so-called Independence Day. Well, we're going to gather, meet here in Philadelphia at where George Washington had his slave house. Yep. Many do not know that the first president of the United States literally had a slave house right next to the so-called White House. Yep. Philadelphia had the first White House. And so it's more than appropriate that we begin to let people know that our concern, that the, what we're talking about has the kind of history that we certainly can show, meaning this country was never designed to protect or provide equality or what have you, as it's stated in all of its various other documents, that was not meant for us. It was not meant for people of African descent. It wasn't meant for other people either, but that's not our plight at this point in time. We have fought for everyone else, about everything else. However, we now have to put that same time and energy into fighting for and about us, what it is that we need to do and have for ourselves. And so, again, the We Charge Genocide 21 project enables us to do that. And, again, we're calling to our brothers because we have an action plan that is relevant to the We Charge Genocide. In our communities nationwide, who is it that, shall we say, really is visible in our community when it comes to the issue of safety? Who is that? If something happens in our community, who are we turning to? So this is just in a basic manner. Let's not get into a more intricate manner in terms of our own relationships with one another. What type of apparatuses do we have in our communities that will allow us to even deal with a certain type of intervention or other kinds of things, dispute, kinds of things? What in our community, where is it at? And why is it not that you have established groups and organizations in our communities, but yet they don't have any of that to offer to us? So obviously the time has come where that's put in place. So with Now MWM, we do have those types of models and other things ready for those who are interested. That means now in our communities, we are suggesting, proposing, and implementing in various communities, starting here in Philadelphia, with the capability to have our own patrols in our community, for lack of a better word. Now, I'm not going to put out a lot of information about that right now because we've learned that, you know, it's too easy to have your projects kind of, you know, dismantled or interfered with when you put out too much information too soon. So we're going to wait and give the actual time that we will present it to our community. But we want to at least give folks a heads up that a changing of the guard is on the rise. It is coming. It is on the horizon. And so, again, brothers, there are Brothers in Support. That is our group that we call Black men who are in tune or connected with the Million Woman March, its universal movements, a million Black women. We have brothers who appreciate our work, like our work, and want to be a part of the work that we have initiated and have been doing. And so we have a group called Brothers in Support, Black men in support of MWM. We welcome any brother who wants to be a part of that group. We welcome you to join us, okay? And so with that said, let me see. Okay, I was looking for something there. Okay, with that said, we again invite all of our brothers that are interested to now be connected with us as our brotherhood. We have a sisterhood. We definitely got to have a brotherhood. So, all right, we have one person in queue. We're going to open up your mic. I'm hoping it is either Mama Condi or sometimes a brother named Mike calls in that has one of those block numbers. We normally don't do the block number thing, but we'll see if that is one of you tonight. So, okay, greetings. Your mic is open. Welcome to the special edition of New Day.
Yes, Empress Xie, I have a high respect for your show. This is Brother Mike. How are you today?
Yes, greetings, greetings. How are you this evening?
Thank you very much. You know, first of all, I want you to go to GoFundMe and open a page for your, for your project that you're having and ask, and many people will be donate. That way is much more easier through GoFundMe. And I am sure since you want to go to Philadelphia and there will be a lot of expenditure, etc., I am sure it's still time. for you to GoFundMe and, you know, ask for donation, and you can read their guidelines exactly. They tell you what you need to do. That's number one.
Okay.
Number two.
Yes.
And number two for you, I have, you know, this regarding COVID-19, we have many places, they have, you know, part two or segment two of the coronavirus, you know, around the globe. And also in the United States, we have right now over 28 states. They have rise in coronavirus. And regarding COVID-19, actually it's called global reset. And not only global reset, they are going to pretty much close every businesses, everything, and tell the people stay in the home. And, you know, because of the COVID-19, and then because this is connected to climate change. What do you think, dear? Go ahead.
No, I agree, Mike. And, you know, I forgot to ask, where are you calling from? Because I know you're not in the U.S. Where are you calling from?
Singapore. And,
okay.
You know,
okay.
The time is 8:29, June 22, 2020. Go ahead, please.
Okay, so let me just backtrack for one moment. So what you're saying is that another virus is definitely on the rise. Is that correct?
Hey, yeah, this is the same COVID virus that it went down and is a second part. For example, in Brazil, 1 million people have COVID virus right now, and as a result, you know, government put a full martial law on the citizens. They have only allowed to come back two times a week maximum, and they have to go certain time. And hopefully when they go to the shop, wherever the shop is, you know, the food will be there. That's another big question. But, you know,
okay.
Two times they're allowed. And the total lockdown in Brazil as we speak. So this is a global reset. This is a global regarding climate change. And I wanted to know your view, please, because I have a high respect for your show. Go ahead, please.
Well, thank you. And so, Mike, yeah, you know, we know that something else is coming. And this government actually has said in several reports that they expect another wave of the virus to come around, you know, the flu season. So this is what we know to do and are doing. Now, we're going to do a July 4th rally here in Philly. Part of that rally will help to provide information about the vaccine that the Cuban, our Cuban allies have. So I'm not sure if that vaccine has went in. It doesn't sound like it was in Brazil yet, but it certainly went into various other countries such as Italy. And it did help to reduce the rates of the death rate and to provide treatment for those that had it. So what we're saying is, given the fact that the U.S. is pretty much saying there is going to be another issue or problem in terms of epidemic, it certainly would be, you know, more than appropriate to have that vaccine ready. But unfortunately, as most know, there is an embargo. The United States does not allow there to be any trade or interaction with the Cuban government. And so what we're saying is, because lives are at stake, we need to make certain here in the U.S. that if nothing else, that barricade or that blockade must come down when it comes to getting that vaccine. That vaccine is proven to work, you see. And so while they're waiting here to create whatever monstrosity they're working on, which we definitely better be very careful about injecting or having that taken, you know, in our bodies, certainly here's something that is already in place it's with an entity that we have seen have a humane capability in their action. They certainly have been very supportive to Black folks over the years here in the U.S. when it comes to dealing with this government. So there is definitely a relationship that we pretty much, you know, feel a lot more comfortable with. I mean, they're not beating us and things of that nature. And so, again, we know, Mike, that something else is coming. And, again, it doesn't seem like there's going to be a lot that people are going to be able to really do. So, you know, I had not heard the report that you just gave us that's happening in Brazil, so we really thank you for that. But what on your end, how are you connecting this 5G with any of what's going on?
Of course, whenever you go to any hospitals in the globe, you know, is a 5G. And as a result, you know, you have, for example, the person going there has the inflammation, pneumonia kind of thing. And the 5G even make it more worse because all their equipment works with 5G. And not wonder that their condition gets worse. And then the worst of the worst is they don't let any member of the family to go with them to be their guidelines. They would be their promoter, which medicine they may use or not. So basically, once the person goes there, they are the property of the hospital. And once they are property of the hospital, they can do any test, anything they want to. They can say, well, we give you Remdesivir is for Ebola, for example, but they may give you something else. You don't know that.
Right.
Or they
right.
may give hydroxychloroquine,
right.
Which is anti-malaria. I mean, one of my relatives actually was in hospital in USA. He asked, "Are you testing on me? Are you testing on me?" And the doctor said, "Yes, I'm testing on you." He said, "No, I don't want it. I don't want you giving anti-malaria." So they give him other medicines, Levaquin, and which is a high antibiotic, and actually that did it, but. You know, it's everybody's different, and it depends when they get to the hospital, if you get it soon to the hospital or 3-4 days, 5 days later, of course, your condition gets worse. So, you know, that's why you need to take your temperatures 3-4 times a day. And also, you know, if you see any kind of cough or anything that doesn't go with regular cough syrup, you know, right away. You need to see the doctor.
Yes, yes. Well, see, this is why it's so important that we continue to do what we're doing with independent media, because a lot of our people in particular do not really understand the other dangers to what is going on. What we just saw over these past few months was what we feel is a trial run. It was to see if, in fact, they could, you know, easily and effectively have people to do something all over the country at the same time, and it be under a certain kind of control, and they utilize public safety and things of that nature to be the catalyst. And so we saw that they did it. It worked. They had everyone wearing a mask, wearing gloves, or not going out, or what have you, all over the U.S. I mean, parts of the world, too, but I'm focusing specifically on the U.S. at this point, at this time. And so they now know that they can put a call out and say there's a danger and stop everything, have everything stop, transportation and other kinds of things. And so, you know, we better understand that they do have that capability and that they are now going to do things that, as you, I think you mentioned, in the form of martial law, in the form of martial law. And that's what we're looking at. Now, they might not call it martial law, But you can best believe the kind of format and the other aspects of it is certainly that. And that's what's coming. And so we can only keep telling people that this is what's getting ready to happen, right? But the bigger piece also has to be, what are we going to do? What are we going to be prepared for? You see, but Mike, listen, it just so happened that we do have a GoFundMe page. And so I'm going to tell you how you can access that as well. I'm glad you mentioned that. But we've had it up for a while. We just didn't let people. Yeah, we just didn't put it out there yet because we weren't ready to really see. Our position is we didn't want people to donate until we were really ready to put out the plan of action, because here in the U.S., our people have been used so much. They've been pimped. They've been manipulated. They've been asked to do this and do that and really get nothing for it or little. And we didn't want to do that. We wanted to make certain that when we said we was going to do something, that you could see that, okay, this is actually being done. And so now we have a rally coming up July 4th. That puts things in place. That gives us the capability to put our action plan out, all, you know, throughout the U.S. and parts of the world, because it's an international day of solidarity. But we intentionally waited because, again, we don't want to be like other entities. We don't want to put stuff out there to people and have them to donate money to things unless they can really see this is going somewhere, you see. And now they're going to be able to see that.
I'm glad. I'm glad that you're doing it, because that's the easiest way. People all over the world, not only, I mean, you have been in the USA, they can see, and they can see your story and what you are doing, and they can easily donate, and suddenly you will make the amount that you need to accomplish your goals.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you for that, Mike. Okay, well, you know, again, we thank you for sharing that information and appreciate you listening and staying in tune with us and helping to get that information circulated, because, again, the We Charge Genocide 21 Project is something that all of our people throughout the world can support. You know, this is the first time in modern times, certainly in the 21st century, that people of African descent in the U.S. is making an international statement. And in that international statement, we're reaching out to all of those of good consciousness, of all of those of goodwill, to support the fact that 400 years of not just physical enslavement, but mental, and I dare say even spiritual, but we can prove mental and physical enslavement. And so even though laws have been passed that was supposed to relieve us from the various kinds of atrocities that were happening, other laws were also put in place to further some of what was already there. And so we now are going to make certain that the world sees and knows what has actually happened. Here in Philadelphia, a bomb was dropped. I don't know if you're familiar with that. A lot of people know about Tulsa, Oklahoma. In the early 1900s, a bomb was dropped on a black community there that was known as Black Wall Street. Well, in 1985, a bomb was dropped here in Philadelphia.
Yeah, for Move 9. Am I right?
Right, exactly. It was in regards to the Move 9, but 11 people were killed in that atrocity, in that bombing, and 62 homes went up in flames. You know, people lost everything. Two blocks were totally destroyed. And so what we know is that this government has the capability to implement a certain type of action that is not only not warranted, but that is so deadly and so incredible. That was a war tactic that we saw here. And by the way, again, our condolences and much love to the Move family. Brother Delbert Africa made transition a few days ago. He was a part of the original Move consultation that took place in 1978. And he spent 41 years in jail for something that they did not do, you see.
Absolutely.
These are the types of things. Yeah, these are the types of things we've now got to share with the world. It's unfortunate that George Floyd was murdered, and, you know, for some, we feel that that was the straw that broke the camel's back, as they say. That was just the last, that was it. That enough is enough. But we know that there's so many others. There's so many more murders, setups, all kinds of things. And so now these things can really be shown. We said 2020 was going to be a year of perfect vision. And guess what? I dare say it is. 2020 is definitely it's showing a lot. And it will now show even more. You know, so my thank you again.
Yes.
And again, you know, we look forward to connecting with you and those around the world as we proceed now with our We Charge Genocide 21 project. And again, tonight's program is our tribute to our brothers, our black men worldwide, of course. But of course, here in the U.S., it is Father's Day. And one of our brothers for Mother's Day said that he was going to start a project called Queen Mother's Day. And we said, wow, that is so beautiful. And so we want to follow suit, and we're going to say King Father's Day. All right. All right, Mike, thank you again.
Yeah, thank
all
you
right,
very
family.
Much for taking my call. I appreciate you, and good luck with your
thank
own
you.
Mission.
And
we pray
thank
for you.
You again.
Thank
you. Yes. Thank you. Peace to you. Okay, family, speaking of black men, and again, speaking of being set up, speaking of COINTELPRO, and just the other things that have really, remember, COINTELPRO, one of the key things that was said in that document was that they were going to do all kinds of disruptive things for what? To make certain it could not be a rise of a messiah, of a black messiah. So it kind of showed you or told you straight up, now this is in legal document form, that this government is afraid of the black man. That's right. And then, on, you know, in these other circles, we have found where our women are being tricked into following white women in such a way that they're turning against brothers. And so, for whatever reason, too many of our women are falling for that. Okay, yeah, there's some things in our community that we need to address. But we don't need white women or white men to tell us how we should do it, when we should do it, and all of that. We need to handle our own business. And this is why we're saying with MWM, that's what we are about. We want to resolve our own issues with our own families. Period. We don't need outside folk telling us what to do or how to do it. We can no longer allow this. Whose agenda are our sisters following? Well, we have one, black women, straight up black women. And we're saying to our sisters, if in fact you are interested in something of that nature, here we are. Here we stand. And so with that said, I'm going to give you the information again. National MWM at AOL.com. Again, National MWM at AOL.com. And you can email us, I mean, you can call us directly at 267-636-3802. Sisters, for those of you who are really ready, there are brothers who need our support. Now, we're very specific about black men that we want to connect with. With that said, we want to give some shout-outs. Shout outs to some serious black men, such as Brother Mike Graves out there in the New York area, Brother Darrow, he's over in Cleveland. Of course, here in Philly, we have Brother Hakeem. We have, Brother Hotep, Brother Sabor, it's many brothers right here in Philly that have really shown love and support for us Not as many as it should have been, certainly, but those that have, again, we appreciate and love you much. We're going to be shouting out some other names for you soon as well. Of course, Baba Bilal, Sunni Ali in Atlanta. My goodness, I would be remiss if I did not mention Baba Abiodun, our poet in resident. Of course, he's in New York. Brother Ray Ray in New York. I mean, there are black men, Brother Sifu here in Philly, Brother Wali here in Philly. These are serious black men, not afraid, not feeling, you know, wheezy about standing with black women. Brother Abdullah, one of the MOVE supporters, Brother Abdul, rather. I mean, again, we recognize those brothers who, of course, they have shown us. They have shown us. It's not just a lot of talk and conversation. And again, we're going to make sure that we differentiate who we're talking about. I want to share something with you. Hopefully we can cue this up. We're going to try another black man that we heal up. And again, just those of you who are interested in working on his campaign, we invite you, welcome you, encourage you to work with us as we now strive to free our political prisoners. Oh, yeah. Show me what black women's organization in this country is talking about freeing our political prisoners. Those black men, and particularly they were black men, that ended up being incarcerated. Why? Because they took a stand against this government, against injustice. Where are the black women that are saying to these brothers, you stood, and in that, they were able to capture you? What are we doing as black women, our part, to get these brothers out? And yes, there are a few sisters that are political prisoners too, and we're going to talk about them a little later on. But when it comes to our brothers, we're talking about Mumia Abu-Jamal. We're talking about Sunda Ada Ikoli. Akoli. We're talking about Dr. Matula Shakur, Iman Jamil Alameen. Many have probably not heard of these names. But we're going to make certain that people understand when we talk about real black men, who we're talking about. And so this is just one end of it or one area of it. Surely there are black men in our community doing a lot of wonderful things. But we're looking for a certain, for lack of a better terminology, we're looking for black men who understand the need to be independent, who is not looking for the next grant or the next corporate sponsor, who wants to have something in our community independent. And we're saying to brothers and sisters in these various communities, if you've had an organization for 20, 25, 30 years in the black community, and yet there's nothing in those communities that provide or service that is independent, I think that just needs to be looked at closer, and so we shall. At any rate, just get ready to hear some words from Mumia Abu-Jamal.
I'm not referring to environmental degradation or global warming here. No, although that too is true. I refer to protests, not just all across the United States, but all around the world. Protests from Lund to Paris, from Berlin to Nairobi, from Toledo, Ohio to Tokyo, Japan. Protests in solidarity with Black Lives Matter against police aggression and racism. Protests stemming from the cruel brutality that led to the slow motion killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The solidarity from Sydney, Australia stems in part from long-standing discontent from the dark Aborigines, the indigenous communities of Australia and New South Wales, who, like black folk in America, have suffered from generations of state repression. For example, the recent killing of David Dunbar, an Aborigine, like his brothers and sisters in America. Last words, I can't breathe, as they choked and moved them. Police responded to this challenge by having temper tantrums and by attacking protesters, men, women, and even a 75-year-old white man who was pushed to the ground as they stepped over his fallen, bleeding body. America is on fire, and the world has caught the blaze. From Prison Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries.
Okay. Again. That was Mumia Abu-Jamal talking about what's going on in the U.S. That was one of his latest commentaries. And, you know, we often play Mumia's commentaries, and we're going to start sending them out so that you all can share them. Joining us for the July 4th International Day of Solidarity for Justice Now, We Charge Genocide, the Mumia coordinating team, defense team, et cetera, will be joining us for that rally on July 4th. Now, here in Philadelphia, we're going to assemble starting at 11 o'clock. Now, the actual rally will start at 12, but the assembly will start at 11 o'clock here in Philadelphia at 5th and Market Streets in the area where the so-called White House was and where George Washington had his slaves. We will assemble there. There will be some speakers there, and then we will walk over to where the Rizzo statue used to be. It is now gone, and we will celebrate that. And then we're going to move over to some other locations, and we'll end up at the Cato statue right at City Hall. Again, we have a plan of action. Again, for those who are interested in signing what we call the letter of intent, the letter of intent, again, will be taken to the United Nations on or around December the 10th. It will advise, or shall we say, notify or give the actual official notice to the United Nations body that we are planning to file officially charges that are known as crimes against humanity. That's the international legal term that we will be utilizing, and it's known as crimes against humanity. Now, we know that there are groups presently that are talking about going to the United Nations and so forth, and, you know, we find that so very interesting. But 1951, Paul Robeson, William Patterson, took that first petition to the United Nations charging genocide as it pertained to police beatings, murders, and mob murders, et cetera, of our people. So MWM, for the past 5 years, have been doing the research that connects not only the work of Paul Robeson and William Patterson, but also the work of Dr. Robert Brock, Dr. Yusuf Klee, of course, Mother Callie House and Queen Mother Moore, but in most recent years, of course, Malcolm X. This was all relevant to either the demand for compensation, reparations, reparatory justice, and or the actual issues of genocide. So my point is this. As you hear people talk about now that, you know, we should go to the United Nations and all of that, well, all we want to do is say to them, well, okay, that's fine, but what you need to do is connect to entities that was already doing that work, because then that way it would not appear as opportunistic. It would not appear as reactionary. It would not appear that there's the continuation of what most do, and that is to see people doing work, building on it, and then you jump on at that time when you see the opportune time to do so. That's right. This is what has been going on in our communities for decades. And this is why we've been doing programs recently that focuses on some of the operations in our community that has made certain we were not able to progress to the degree that we should. And so now the wool is coming off and other things, and we're able to really call a spade. So with that said, we invite all these different other groups and peoples or whatever to join in on a campaign that has already been put in place. We are on record already presenting various information to in the United Nations, and so now we are going to the next level. Again, our position is not just about the police and governmental terrorism aspects of it. Our position is genocide all across the board. Now, we know that that's not something that most is going to really talk about because they're involved in some of that stuff. They're upholding some of it. And so it's going to be very difficult for some to, you know, really connect to the whole of what we're saying in terms of genocide, but that's okay. There's something for everyone. We have 21 points. 21 points, 21 demands. That's why we call it We Charge Genocide 21. We're also in the 21st century. So we are the first in the 21st century to begin a process of this type, whereby we say to all countries that for 400 years, our people have had been victims of, inflicted with, and by all types of atrocities that are certainly human rights violations. At any rate, family, we're going to, I guess, close this segment out. Again, tomorrow night, we will, for sisters in particular, those sisters who are ready to become a part of, members of, or either supporters of the Million Black Women Rising, those sisters who are ready for what we call the Black Women's Special Forces. We'll tell you more about that tomorrow night. This is an entity of a Million Black Women Rising. It is an entity that will be dealing with self-defense all across the board, not just the physical, but also the intelligence aspect of it. It will be a national unit in our communities that will be able to do various things in our community, specifically for our women and girls. And so, again, only those who are interested in those types of operations should be kind of calling in or connecting in on Monday and Wednesday. Tomorrow night, we'll be doing a segment at 9 o'clock, and also on Wednesday. It'll be here on our Blog Talk as well as on our Zoom. And this, again, is for Black women who are ready to be proactive all across the board, and we'll be giving you more details and information about that tomorrow. Now, this also includes, again, dealing with the financial aspect, building financially, those sisters who are interested in now collectively investing and things of that nature, because we have to make sure that our movement is able to be sustainable. And so we'll now be providing you with information on how you can assist in that or be a part of that. Okay, so at any rate, we're going to close this session out, family. Again, tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, we will do another special edition. And again, the special edition is geared specifically to Black women who want to deal with, again, self-defense, self-determination, self-reliance, and all those things relevant to that. I want to thank Sister Gabrielle for always being on point, helping us with our technical stuff. And again, to Black men, brothers, if you have a project or an initiative that you are working on, have been working on, or plan to work on, and you need support in some kind of way, be it helping to market it, be it you want to connect with other brothers, be it, you know, you just need some other kinds of resources. We want to connect with you, okay? Again, nationalmwm@aol.com, nationalmwm@aol.com, or you can call us directly, 267-636-3802. We're looking for brothers nationwide who want to be in our communities in the context of having some kind of unity, but also function and the capability of it being guards, our own community guards. If you're ready for that conversation, if you're ready for that kind of initiative, and I don't mean this stuff that we're now seeing. I'm not talking about that, okay? I'm talking about some real organized legal, unapologetic kinds of modalities, period. If you're ready for that, let's talk. Let's get it on. Do this. At any rate, family, again, we're going to leave you for tonight. We will regroup tomorrow with sisters again Monday and Wednesday, 9 o'clock. And so we're going to leave you, as we oftentimes greet you, that is in the spirit of Mind and Hotep. But remember, there can never be any real peace until there's truly some justice. And right about now, we are ready to get them both. But first, there must be justice. Till next time, we say, Pomoja to the Shinda. Together, we shall win.